Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, and praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Deans with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries, along with the Life Support Outreach Church and our prayer room ministry. So delighted tonight to be back on our radio broadcast for the study of the Word of God. I just give God all the praise and glory. I magnify his holy name on tonight. God is such a good God, and he's so worthy to be praised. We're going to get ready to have this a short devotion. I'm not going to even be before you long. To do a short devotion, just so we don't know how long. Okay, we're going to be coming from Psalms 40, reading, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my going. And he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respect not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thou and thy thoughts which are to us work. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. And if I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears has thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering has thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It was written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not counseled thy loving kindness and thy truth. From the great congregation, withhold not thou thy tender mercy from me. O Lord, let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. I have just read you from Psalms 40, from the first verse down to the 11th verse. May God richly add a blessing to the doers of his most holy word.
Been shifting out where I am, and I'm where I'm supposed to be. In the middle of a love that's real, I believe. Some people try to tell me I'm not worthy of my destiny.
Today, he's doing it, and doing it, and he, I see how I
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come humbly before your throne of grace on tonight, asking you to forgive us, Lord, for every known and unknown sin, Father, that we've committed against you in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I confess and I repent. I ask for forgiveness and cleansing through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on tonight. Lord, I come now, God, in the name of Jesus, asking you right now, God, to open up our minds and our understanding to your word on tonight. Lord, I ask you to bless this Bible study, the study of your word, God, in the name of Jesus. Open up our heart, our minds, and our spirit to receive your word, God. Let us understand it, God, just like you give it to us in the name of Jesus. I'm asking you right now, God, in the name of Jesus, to send down your power, send down your anointing, God, in the name of Jesus. And I thank the Holy Ghost for teaching us. Let Deborah decrease, that the Holy Ghost may increase and teach us. I have no power and authority. I don't know anything of myself, but it's of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask you right now to move me from this flesh. Move me, God, so the Holy Spirit can take over and take control in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I give you praise. I give you glory. I just thank you, and I bind the strong man from this radio broadcast. I bind them from our lives. I bind every witch, every wizard, every warlock, every medium, every psychic, every demon on assignment. Your assignment is canceled right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I just thank you, God. I praise you. I magnify you this morning, this evening. I just bless your name, God, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I ask you to cover everyone under the sound of my voice, God. Cover every member, God, of this ministry and the other ministries. God, I just thank you for covering them and their families and camp angels all around about them to protect them, God, from all hurt, harm, or danger. Lord, we bless you now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. So let it be. So let it be. We're going to have the reading of our word. Oh, 2
Samuel.
2 Samuel,
chapter 1. Now it came to pass after the death of Saul, when David had returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, and David had stayed 2 days in Ziklag. On the third day, behold, it happened that a man came from Saul's camp with his clothes torn and dust on his head. So it was when he came to David that he fell to the ground and prostrated himself. And David said to him, "Where have you come from?" So he said to him, "I have escaped from the camp of Israel." And David said to him, "How did the matter go? Please tell me." And he answered, "The people have fled from the battle. Many of the people are fallen and dead. And Saul and Jonathan, his son, are dead also." So David said to the young man who told him, "How do you know that Saul and Jonathan, his son, are dead?" Then the young man told him, "As happened by chance to be on Mount Gilboa, there was Saul leaning on his spear, and indeed the chariot and the horsemen followed hard after him. Now when he looked behind him, he saw me and called to me, and I answered, 'Here I am.' And he said to me, 'Who are you?' So I answered him, 'I am an Amalekite.' He said to me again, 'Please stand over me and kill me, for anguish has come upon me, but my life still remains in me.' Over him and killed him, because I was sure that he could not live after he had fallen. And I took the crown that was on his head and the bracelet that was on his arm and have brought them here to my Lord." Therefore David took hold of his clothes and torn them, and so did all of the men who were with him. And they mourned and wept and fasted until evening for Saul and for Jonathan his son, for the people of the Lord, and for the house of Israel, because they had fallen by the sword. Then David said to Jonathan, who told him, "Where are you from?" And he answered, I am the son of an alien, an Amalekite." So David said to him, "How was it that you were not afraid to put forth your hand to destroy the Lord's anointed?" Then David called one of the young men and said, "Go near and execute him." And he struck him, so he died. So David said to him, "Your blood is on your own head, for your own mouth has testified against you, saying, 'I have killed the Lord's anointing.'" Then David lamented and this limitation over Saul and over Jonathan, his son. And he told them to teach the children of Judah the song of both. Indeed, it is written in the book of Jasher. The beauty of Israel is slain on your high places. How the mighty have fallen. Tell it not in Gath. Proclaim it not in the streets of Ashkelon. Lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice. Lest the daughters of the earth circumcised triumph. Oh, the mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew nor rain upon you, nor fields of offering. For the shield of the mighty is cast away there, the shield of Saul not anointed with oil, from the blood of the slain, from the fat of the Almighty, the bow of Jonathan. The bow of Jonathan did not turn back, and the sword of Saul did not return empty. Saul and Jonathan were beloved and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were not swifter than angels. They were stronger than lions. They were swifter than angels. They were stronger than lions. Oh, my. O daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet with luxury, who put ornaments of gold on your arms. How the mighty have fallen in the midst of the battle. Jonathan was slain in your high places. I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. You have been very pleasant to me. Your love to me was wonderful, surpassing the love of women. Almighty, how mighty have fallen, and the weapons of the war perish. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Chapter 2. And it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up unto any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said unto him, go up. And David said, whither shall I go up? And he said unto Hebron. So David went up thither, and his two wives also, Ahinoam, the Jezreelite, and Abigail, Nabal's wife, the Carmelite. And his men that were with him did David bring up, every man with his household. And they dwelt in the cities of Hebron. And the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying, that the men of Jabesh Gilead were they that buried Saul. And David sent messengers unto the men of Jabesh Gilead and said unto them, blessed be ye of the Lord, that ye have showed this kindness unto your Lord, even unto Saul, and have buried him. And now the Lord show kindness and truth unto you, and I also will requite you this kindness, because ye have done this thing. Therefore, now let your hands be strengthened, and be ye valiant, for your master Saul is dead. And also the house of Judah have anointed me king over them. But Abner, the son of Ner, captain of Saul's host, took Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, and brought him over to Mahanaim and made him king over Gilead.
and over the Asherites, and over Jezreel, and over Ephraim, and over Benjamin, and over all Israel. Ish-bosheth, Saul's son, was 40 years old when he began to reign over Israel, and reigned 2 years, but the house of Judah followed David. In the time that David was king in Hebron over the house of Judah, was 7 years and 6 months. And Abner, the son of Ner, and the servants of Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, went out from Mahanaim to Gibeon, and Joab, the son of Jeruiah, and the servants of David went out and met together by the pool of Gilead, and they sat down, the one on the side of the pool, and the other on the other side of the pool. And Abner said to Joab, "Let the young men now arise and play before us." And Joab said, "Let them arise." Then there arose and went over by number 12 of Benjamin, which pertained to Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, and 12 of the servants of David. And they caught everyone his fellow by the head and thrust his sword in his fellow's side. So they fell down together. Wherefore that place were called Helketh Hazarim, which is in Gibeon. And that was a very sore battle that day, and Abner was beaten, and the men of Israel before the servants of David. And there were 3 sons of Zeruiah, there Joab, and Abishai, and Asael. And Asael was as light of foot as a wild rope. And Asael pursued after Abner, and in going, he turned not the right hand nor to the left from following Abner. Then Abner looked behind him and said, "Art thou Asael?" And he answered, "I am." And Abner said to him, "Turn thee aside to thy right hand or to the left, and lay thee hold on one of the young men, and take thee his armor. But Asael would not turn aside from following of him. And Abner said again to Asael, "Turn thee aside from following me, before should I smite thee to the ground. How then should I hold up my face to Joab, thy brother? How be it, he refused to turn aside. Wherefore Abner, with the hinder end of the spear, smote him under the 5th rib, that the spear came out behind him, and he fell down there and died in the same place. And it came to pass that as many as came to the place where Asael fell down and died stood still. Joab also and Abishai pursued after Abner, and the sun went down when they were come to the hill of Amah that lieth before Gia, by the way of the wilderness of Gibeon. And the children of Benjamin gathered themselves together after Abner and became one troop and stood on the top of the hill. Then Abner called to Joab and said, "Shall the sword devour forever? Knowest thou not that it will be bitterness in the latter end? How long shall it be then? Eerie, thou bid the people return from following their brethren." And Joab said, "As God liveth, unless thou hadst spoken, surely then in the morning the people had gone up everyone from following his brother. So Joab blew a trumpet, and all the people stood still and pursued after Israel no more. Neither fought they anymore. And Abner and his men walked all that night through the plain and passed over Jordan and went through all Bithron, and they came to Mahanaim. And Joab returned from following Abner, and when he had gathered all the people together, there lacked of David's servants 19 men and Asahel. But the servants of David had smitten of Benjamin and of Abner's men, so that 300 men died. And they took up Asahel and buried him in a sepulcher of his father, which was in Bethlehem. And Joab and his men went all night, and they came to Hebron at break of day. The word of God for the people of God. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. That's awesome. That is awesome. So let us answer these questions in 2 Samuel chapter 1. Who brought news of Saul's death to David? Who brought the news to David?
Verse 4, a man from Saul's camp. I don't know whether he was a stray man. I don't think they identified his name, but he was a man from Saul's camp.
Okay. No, they didn't. They were just saying it was an Amalekite. It was an Amalekite that did. Why did David kill the Amalekite? Let me see. It's somewhere in between.
Was it verse 14?
Between 14 16.
Because he,
yeah.
I thought David was pretty angry first because he had killed Jonathan, but he killed him because the man put forth his hand towards the anointed, which was Saul, to kill him. And I was very upset about him killing Saul and Jonathan. But that, I think it sounded to me like it was because he did it with no forethought. He just killed him for what reason? And that was the Lord's anointed. So, and he confessed to it. So that's why he killed him.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was, and that's right. He claims to have killed Saul upon Saul's request. He said Saul told him to kill him. It's what it is. And so David executed him for raising his hand up against God's anointing. Amen. Yes, he did. Okay. Chapter 2. We got 5 questions over here in chapter 2. Who reigned over Israel?
Question before you go along. The Amalekite, did he kill Saul, or Saul fell on the sword? Or he was just trying to take the praise because he thought David would be happy?
He was just trying to take, because Saul had fell on the sword. And then I think it was Saul's armor bearer at first. He told Saul's armor bearer to kill. Saul told his armor bearer to kill him, and he wouldn't do it. And so so Saul fell on the sword himself. And then Saul's armor bearer did the same thing.
Yes.
Yep.
Well,
that was
this
a continuation.
Was also relying on himself.
Yep. He sure did. in David slaying him, killed him for nothing because he didn't kill Saul.
Mm-hmm.
Saul killed himself, and he just went back and told his a fib about it, trying to make him, like you said, prophet is trying to make himself look better or like he could do more. And then brought David the crown and the bracelet and stuff, like he took all that and stuff, because back in them days, they would cut your head off.
Yeah.
Yep, you're right. You're absolutely right. Mm-hmm, because when she was reading it, I was saying now in Samuel 1, it left off saying that Saul had fell on the sword.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't read, I mean, I read it over there the other day, but it wasn't in this, but he did. And then his armor bearer saw him, and he was telling his armor bearer to kill him for something, or he must have been hurt, and then he didn't kill him. He fell on the sword. Then his armor bearer went behind him and fell on the sword.
Yes.
So
yes,
this guy right here was just trying to, like you say, taking the just like taking a claim, like he did something.
Yeah.
And got in David. Mhm.
Yeah. I misunderstood David.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying he misunderstood David, you know. David don't like to glorify when someone get hurt, even, you know, his enemy.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And not only that, it was David's enemy, but it was still God's anointing.
Yes.
That's the whole thing. That's the key right there. Touch not my anointing and do my prophets no harm. That's why David, he could have killed him so many times, but he didn't because of his love for God. He didn't. He said, I'm not going to do it. And he let him know, I could have killed you this many times.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't because of God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep, you're right. Who reigned over Israel in Saul's place? In chapter 2. Does anybody remember?
His son for 2 years?
Yeah. Yeah, it's Saul's son, I think. What's his name? Is it Abner, the one guy that, yeah. Abner is the one.
No, it was Ish-bosheth.
Yeah, the king over 11 tribes. Mm-hmm. Yes. What tribe did follow David?
Say that again.
What tribe followed David? In verse 11.
Judah. Yeah.
It was Judah. They were the only tribe that followed David. How long did David reign over Judah? It's right there at
11.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Now forgive me. What happened to the men of Abner and the men of Joab in the battling contest? That's terrible. That's, what is that? 16, verse 16, somewhere in there. Well, 15, 16, where then there arose and went over by number 12 of Benjamin, which pertained to Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, and 12 of the servants of David. And they caught everyone his fellow by the head and thrust his sword in his fellow's side. So they fell down together Wherefore that place was called, ooh, Lord. I don't even want to say that. I'm going to say something wrong. Hellcath Hazarim, which is in Gabor. Y'all ain't seeing good tonight. Gibeon. And there was a very sore battle that day, and Abner was beaten, and the men of Israel before the servant of David. And there were three sons of Zeruiah, there Joab and Abishai and Asahel. And Asahel was a light of foot as a wild roe. Okay, I'm not going to read all that. Who did Abner kill in the battle? Yeah.
He killed Asahel.
That was Joab's brother. Mm-hmm. Why did he kill him?
Because he was telling him to do something, to go kill somebody and take his sword, take his armor, but he didn't want to do that. But I didn't understand, mm-hmm. why did he want him to do that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a battle right there. When I tell you that was a battle, it was like a civil war going on, that battle right there. It really was. It was like a battle. But now the book of 2 Samuel is a history of the reign of King David, and it covers from the death of Saul until Solomon prepares to take the throne. You see, this book is going to prepare. It's going to be there until they start preparing. It's going to last. This reign right here is going to last until Solomon, David's son, going to come in the picture, get ready to take the throne. And ain't nothing else covered in 2 Samuel but about the kingdom under David. And it puts the Davidic covenant into history. You know, it's good because it tells all what we want to know about David, King David. King David made a lot of mistakes, but King David was a man after God's own heart. You know, so I always love David. You know, he don't get in some scrapes like we all get in. He wanted to go to bed with, but he did go to bed with Bathsheba, then turn around, kill the husband, all that kind of stuff. Then God allowed the baby to die that they got together. That she was pregnant, and he still, after the baby died, then David really went hard, deep into God. He just went deep into God, you know, and he repented. That's where that Psalms 51 come in. Mm-hmm. He repented from that. But he made mistakes. He human. He made mistakes just like we make them today. They made them then. Mm-hmm. And the main thing about David is he loved God, and he wanted, you know, when God said, if you love me, keep my commandments. David wanted to keep God's commandments. he wanted to just sacrifice whatever he had to do. That's why he killed this last person he killed, the Amalekites. Because even though Saul was trying to kill him and was his enemy, I really believe he loved Saul and Jonathan. I know he loved Jonathan, but he probably loved Saul too, and that made God happy. Mm-hmm. Anyone else have any comments or anything on this? Mm-hmm. It's going to get down to where God wanted David to build his temple, which I ain't going to tell y'all all this because it's coming up. This is basically, this chapter, this book right here is basically about King David and his reign, mm-hmm. and how God was preparing for him to build a temple until he messed up. And when he messed up and was disobedient, he had his son to do it. Now, you cannot tell me if one generation won't do it, God will move on to the next. That's God. That's God. If one don't want to do it, he'll take the next generation and they'll do it. Still in your bloodline. Mm-hmm. This good book. This is good. Mm-hmm. I didn't get a chance to really study like I wanted to, but I got a chance to kind of meditate on some things. Mm-hmm. Yep, I did. And you know, I believe he loved Saul, but he really loved Jonathan. He really did. But Jonathan went against what his dad was saying for David. And that was good. I mean, that wasn't good, but I'm just saying that's how much he loved David. And he lamented for them, Saul and Jonathan. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, I probably wouldn't have took my sons out to fight with me, but they weren't going to let their dad go out and fight by himself with the other men. So, yeah, they went. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, it's a great meaning behind this. I mean, God was teaching David. He was teaching David. David going to end up with Israel and Judah being king over it all. He was teaching them, but then when we get satisfied and when we get settled in our own way, then we go off from God and do what we want to do. And the enemy's right there to help you. And that's what happened today because he was out on his deck, on the top of his porch, on his rooftop, and there Bathsheba over there naked in the tub at the same time. Him being king, he said, I want her. Go get her. And that's what they did. So, you know, it's when you'll get to it, we're going to get to all of that. It's just really, it's really interesting how things happen. Even to the best of us, even to kings, and, you know, hey, it can happen to anybody. That's why you have to be careful. You have to stay in God, stay in his word, pray, fast, whatever you have to do that. You really do. You have to do it because people say it don't take all that, but it takes much more than we do to stay in God's grace, stay in his will. It's hard to stay in God's will when all this stuff out here after you. You see what I'm saying? We got all this stuff out here, and we seeing this and seeing that. You have to really be up under the Spirit of the Lord. The Holy Ghost has to really dwell within you. believe me, because this stuff will mess you up. It will mess you up if you're not, I'm telling you, if you're not praying, if you're not studying, if you're not fasting, it will mess you up. Yes, it will. But you got to stay on the, you got to stay on the wall. You can't come down. I don't care what it looks like. You can't come down off that wall. Mm-mm. No, not at all. You can't come down. You got to stay up there, because if you let down any little bit, the enemy coming for you. Yep, the enemy is coming. Mhm. I mean, and when you in a war, in a battle like that, God was with them. God was with David and them. He was with them all the time, because David would always go and ask God, should I do this? Should I go up against them? You know, and God would tell him yes. The first time you don't ask him, then you don't get mixed up, because he'll teach you a lesson, stand right there, and let you get beat. You have your men get beat and killed, and then you saying, Lord, why weren't you with us? Because I didn't tell you to go. Same way today. We have to make it a point, and me too. We have to make it a point to acknowledge God in everything we do. We don't do that all the time. We don't do it, and then we get in trouble. Sometimes we just look at the benefit, and we don't ask God. Then we get in trouble. Mm-hmm. Then we be trying to work our way out of it. But if we hadn't went to God, I'm telling you, if we stay prayerful, because a lot of times we get it mixed up, we see something good, we see something beneficial to us, kind of push God back. Mm-hmm. But David kept God's commandments. And when he got to be king over Israel and Judah and Israel, and all of these men in the Bible, they messed up, because his son gonna mess up too. He gonna have 1,000, 100 wives. I don't know how many. It was over 100, though. I know that. I ain't gonna say 1,000, but I know it's over 100. And the Lord was telling him, Why do you need all these wives? And he told them, he said, they're gonna mess up. They're gonna have you worshiping their God. And that's what they did. And that's how he got out of there. See, God don't, he can put you up and he can take you down. If you're doing wrong, God will take you down. Do you hear me? As much as he loved David, he took him down. And he let the next generation do it, and he's going to take him down. That's why we got to stay in his grace. We got to stay in his will. We got to do his commandments as best as we can. God knows our hearts. He knows our hearts. And when somebody's trying to lie, just to get status, you see where they got him, that Amalekite, he did, because he lied. Mm-mm. You don't do that. You're trying to make yourself look big. That's not what it is. God's not pleased with that. Mm-mm. Any questions or comments? Yeah, this has been really That's something. This is a good, I love it. I love it. I'm telling you, from the time that Samuel anointed David, it's been just, to me, action-packed, and it's just been a mind-blowing thing, because here you get a little shepherd boy that killed the biggest man in the land with a slingshot and a rock, a slingshot with everything, a slingshot and a rock, a stone. It wasn't no big stone, because he couldn't pick no big stone up. It was a smooth rock. That just blew my mind right there. But when you have God behind it, when you got God pushing that rock, that stone, it could have cut his whole head off just like David did. And he just a shepherd boy, cut that man's head off and took it to Saul. That's why I knew he loved Saul, even though he had them demons in him, them evil spirits chasing him and trying to kill him and stuff, David still loved him. Yep. It's amazing. We human, we supposed to do the best we can to live the life that God wants us to live. We're human. But we got to keep the words of God. We got to keep his commandments. So on Thursday, we'll do 3 chapters. Yeah, because the next week, we won't do none, Tuesday or Thursday. But we're going to do 3 this Thursday, and next week we'll be off. It's just a few things I think I'll be able to do next week. I'll probably do my morning prayer. And we'll probably, I'm going to have somebody to preach for me on that live broadcast on Sunday. Because I'll probably be on the train or something, I don't know. So whoever want to preach, just raise their hand. Nobody raise their hand, nobody want to preach. No, I'm just playing. Mm-hmm. He's going to go on the live broadcast and preach on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Might have a special guest. Mm-hmm. Because I don't want it to go by. We don't ever hardly have a special guest on there to preach. And sometimes we should every now and then. I'm not trying to make you all preach because I know you can because you already have, but you know, you might be afraid you're going to mess up or something like that, and you won't. Everybody's going to be scared. I don't care how many years you've been preaching. You always be nervous when you get up before God, and that's a good thing because it's letting God know that you're not trying to do it on your own. You don't think you can do it on your own. So it's a good thing. Mm-hmm. Any questions or comments before we get ready to go? And I really enjoyed the reading of the Word and the Word of God. Mm-hmm. I've been having problems with my eyes. I know I'm going to have to get some work done on them. And can't read like I want to read, but it's all right. I ain't going to make no excuse. I know that. So we're not going to hold you. I'm not going to hold you. We're about 5 minutes out from 8:30, but I will be on the broadcast in the morning and Friday morning. We'll be on there in the morning, Friday morning, and we're gonna, like I say, we'll do 3, 4, and 5 when we come back on Thursday, and then we'll be out for next week. Everybody can just have them a little vacation from the from the Bible class because I might still pray in the hotel. I don't know. I'll see what God wants me to do because I try to be real nice and quiet. I don't know. So anyway, God bless you all. I hope you enjoyed this word. It was good. It really was. And I just want to thank you all for your support, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for your word. Thank you for sending the Holy Ghost to teach us on today. Thank you for just being in the midst, just your love, just your word. God, I thank you. I give you praise and glory. I magnify you today, God. Thank you for each one of them that's under the sound of my voice, and I ask you to cover them in the blood of Jesus. They and their family, cover their homes and vehicles, touching from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet, God. We just thank you that you are mighty in battle. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen, amen, amen. So let it be. Don't forget ministers training tomorrow evening. And apostles training is Friday evening. Try not to forget about the training on tomorrow evening for the minister. God bless you all. I love y'all. Y'all have a good night.
Good night. God bless. Good night.
Love you. God bless you all.
Love you too. God bless.